The Enduring Church of God presents Charles E. Bryce, bringing you a straightforward message on the abundant life and the good news of the kingdom of God.
Hello, everyone. What are the famous Beatitudes of the Bible talking about? Are they just nice platitudes spoken by Jesus Christ to his disciples? What do they mean? Who are they for? What do they tell us? Go get your Bible and let's take a look and see exactly what we can learn from the Beatitudes. If you get your Bible, you can read them with your own eyes and follow along, and you can prove all things yourself right from your Bible and not just take our word for it. And you'll learn a lot more if you can follow along. If you can't get a Bible right now, just remember where we go in the Bible, and when you can get one, open it up and read these tremendous principles Jesus Christ spoke in this chapter that we're going to. And let's go to that chapter, Matthew chapter 5, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him. In other words, he wanted some privacy. And so he went up into a mountain away from everyone and just called his disciples to him. And when they were settled and seated, he opened his mouth and taught them. Now, I've been to that mountain that is traditionally the location where Jesus Christ gave these tremendous principles for Christian living. It's a beautiful area. There's an orchard there, and you can look out over the Jordan Valley, see the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River running into it, in the distance, the Mediterranean Sea. It was a bright sunny day when we were there, beautiful fresh air, a gorgeous location and peaceful, where he sat down and taught his disciples these things. And we can't absolutely prove that is the mountain. We don't exactly know where that mountain is, but evidence points to that location you can go to in the nation of Israel today, in the location of the Sea of Galilee. Nevertheless, that's not the most important thing here. The most important thing is what we're going to read and the principles set forth here by Jesus Christ for us to live by as Christians. But how many really know them? And how many really live by these principles? Some people say these Beatitudes replace the Ten Commandments. That's not true. They are based on the Ten Commandments. They amplify the Ten Commandments. They explain the principles of the Ten Commandments in detail as far as day-to-day Christian living. That's what Jesus Christ did right here. We are to follow what he tells us here if we're really going to live Christian lives. He tells us most of the time that he mentions one of these principles that we're going to be blessed if we follow these teachings. So let's just open up our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, and let's find out what the Beatitudes, quote unquote, you don't find that word anywhere in the Bible. They're labeled that by scholars and others, but it is a good label. These are tremendous teachings. They are talking about attitudes of Christian living, principles to follow in our daily lives as we serve God and serve others. And so let's find out their meaning. Let's find out what they are. Let's find out who they're meant for. Let's find out how they are applicable in everyday living. Matthew chapter 5. And as we've already said, verse 1, he went up into a mountain and sat down with his disciples to teach them these things. In verse 2, he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now, he's not saying here that we are to be distraught, that we're to be depressed, discouraged, withdrawn. When he says poor in spirit, he's not talking about hanging our heads in shame or being apologetic. He's talking about humility. He's talking about people who are not full of themselves, people who know their place as it relates to others and to God. Sometimes this means that they can seem shy or quiet, when in fact there's a time to speak and a time not to speak, and meekness helps us know that time, and humility. And he says right here in verse 3, you're going to be blessed, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, when he says theirs is the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about the kingdom that Jesus Christ is going to bring down from heaven and establish on this earth. He's not saying they're going to go to heaven and be in the kingdom there. You know, the house of Brown is not in Brown, it's Brown's house. And the kingdom of heaven is not going to be in heaven, it's going to be on this earth, but it's God's kingdom that Jesus Christ will bring to this earth from heaven. It's very easy to establish that if you'll just keep your finger there in Matthew chapter 5 and go over to Matthew chapter 6. Notice Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. They were asking Jesus Christ to teach them to pray. How should we pray? They ask him. And he goes through and explains the way to pray effectively. And then notice what he says here in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So you see, he said to pray that the kingdom of God will come to this earth. Not stay in heaven where we go to, but come to this earth where we will be. Christ is going to establish his kingdom on this earth. And those who are meek and humble are going to inherit that kingdom on this earth. Otherwise, why would he say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven? So now back to Matthew chapter 5. And repeat verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the humble, the teachable, the obedient. For theirs is going to be the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Eternal life in the family of God is what it's really talking about. Now let's just get a companion scripture to go with this to explain it, because you see, the Bible interprets the Bible. We don't have the authority or the knowledge or the know-how to interpret the Bible. The Bible interprets the Bible. That's very clearly stated in the Bible, that the prophecies and scriptures are not of any private interpretation. The Bible opens up the meaning of the Bible by putting the scriptures together on any one subject. And let's do that right here. Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah chapter 62, and just notice the principle of letting the Bible interpret the Bible. Isaiah 66, thus says the Lord in verse 1. Verse 2, for all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, says the Eternal. But to this man will I look, or woman, or child, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. In other words, they're humble, they're meek, they have an attitude of repentance, of change, of being sorry for mistakes, and being eager to do the right thing instead of the wrong thing. They're not pompous and braggadocio and boasting and obnoxious. They're not bragging about themselves. Rather, they are meek and humble. This is who I'm going to look to. This is the attitude that I'll pay attention to, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word, obeys my word, listens to what I say. They're teachable. So now back to Matthew chapter 5 again. That's what verse 3 is talking about. An attitude of humility, an attitude of being teachable, an attitude of being contrite and standing in awe of Almighty God and not in awe of yourself or of some idol or some other person. Now let's go on to verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Once again, we're going to be talking about these teachings of Jesus Christ and trying to show what they mean, but also at the same time trying to show what they do not mean, because these very outstanding special verses that we're going through here are very famous and they've been taught for centuries all over the world, but I might add, mistaught as well, twisted and misused in terms of the meaning of what Christ really meant when he said these things. Let's just look at it and realize that Christ said what he meant and meant what he said. We don't need to add to it, take away, twist it, turn it, improve it, or anything of the kind. Just understand what he meant when he said it and take it for what he says. And it says right here, verse 4, Matthew 5, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to have proper emotions. We should always have proper emotions, but there's a time for the emotion of sadness, a time for true mourning. Sometimes it can be at the death of a loved one. Sometimes it can be hardship that someone is going through. You have compassion. You have pity. You have feelings. You can empathize with individuals who are in pain. And you can mourn with them. It's not a matter of losing control. It's not a matter of just weeping all the time. But it is a matter of having the right kind of feelings for others and the right kind of feelings toward God. It is part and parcel with love, really. the attitude of being able to mourn and being able to identify and empathize with others and having that emotion of feeling sorry or feeling sad. So many people today are past having proper emotions and feelings. They don't have that natural affection. They have become hardened and their conscience has become seared. And so it's not in them to mourn and to have that kind of kindness that goes with an individual who can mourn. We need to cultivate that. We need to bring that back. And there's a time and place for it. And what does he say in verse 4? For they shall be comforted. And they'll be able to comfort others too, and they'll be comforted. This is the kind of sadness and the kind of emotion that's proper over, as I said, a loss or a setback or a disappointment. But you can have that compassion and feeling for others who've had that kind of thing as well. Now, you know, there's a time coming when people who have that attitude used at the right time in the right way and properly, they're going to be comforted. And the Bible talks about that. Let's turn over here now to Revelation chapter 21. Let's begin in verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And now notice verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. He's talking about the time when the kingdom of God will be established on this earth. The new heavens and the new earth will follow that later. He's talking about the time when Jesus Christ will come to this earth, and later on God the Father will come to this earth, and an entirely new way of life will be established on an entirely new earth and a completely new society. And justice and love will prevail. And sadness and sorrow and weeping and sighing and crying will be done away. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. The new heavens and the new earth, and the establishment of the holy city, New Jerusalem, and the continuation of the kingdom of God established by Jesus Christ at his coming. There will be joy, there will be happiness, there will be justice, there will be prosperity and abundance. And those that are having a tough time now, and those that are having sad situations they have to cope with, and they mourn and they cry and they sigh with no relief, they're going to be comforted. And others that they've felt sorry for will be comforted as well. That's what it's talking about here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. So take heart, be encouraged, look forward to the future. Look to God and Jesus Christ. They'll comfort you now, and their words in this book will comfort you. And the time is coming when all of mankind, suffering under the sadness and the sorrow and the pain and the horror of war and of refugee camps and of drought and death and pestilence and disease and no hope, will then have hope. They will then be comforted, be fed, be reunited, and be prosperous and happy and full of joy and abundance, because the kingdom is established, and then later on, New Jerusalem is established, and eternal life is the way of life for all who are alive. We can look forward to this in this life as we go along and obey God to be comforted, and we can look forward to the whole world and all of humanity being comforted in the future. But we don't have to wait for then. We can be comforted now, and others can as well. If we just listen to Almighty God, follow the teachings that we're reading here, and have faith in Jesus Christ. All of these blessings can come now and then later in the kingdom, and then involve all who have ever lived and are resurrected into the kingdom in the New Jerusalem. So these beatitudes, these teachings, these principles that Jesus Christ is outlining here are full of hope. They're full of encouragement and full of blessings. Let's see how we can understand them and put them into practice and put them into use in our lives now, and enjoy the blessings and help others enjoy these blessings as well. Let's cultivate these character traits here. The humility that verse 3 talks about, and the proper feeling and emotion that verse 4 talks about. These are character traits. Now notice verse 5. They kind of overlap one another and tie in with one another as well. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Now people talk about heaven being the reward of the saved. Well, what does this mean here when it says, verse 5, Matthew 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. What does that mean? It doesn't say, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit heaven. It says, they shall inherit the earth. You might say, well, that's happening now. Well, do you know of any meek people that have inherited the earth? Where are they? What part of the earth? This is talking about a future time when those who are meek, not vain, not proud, not haughty, not egotistical, but they're meek, they're humble, they're kind and gentle. Blessed are the meek. Their reward is going to be this. They're going to inherit the earth. They're going to have eternal life. They're going to be in the kingdom of God and the family of God. The Bible, once again, is very plain about this. Turn over to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation 5 and verse 10. Look at what it says here. Revelation 5, and we'll begin reading in verse 9. And they, speaking of the 24 elders around God's throne in the third heaven, verse 9, they sung a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for you were slain and you have redeemed them, is the proper translation, speaking about human beings. You can get a different translation and it'll clear it up. Angels and 24 elders in heaven, spirit beings, they don't need to be redeemed, we do. You have redeemed them to God by your blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. That does away with all racism. God is not prejudiced. He does not practice partiality or favoritism. He loves all of us the same, no matter what race we're from. And you have made them unto our God, kings and priests, and they shall reign on the earth. See that? Reign on the earth. Now, another verse over here in Revelation chapter 20. Very plain. So many people, they just won't believe what the Bible says. They want it to say what they want it to say instead of what it says. What we need to do is take the Bible, read it, and believe it for what it says, and change our beliefs to match what the Bible says, not try to change the Bible to match what we believe. Are we willing to do that? Are you willing to do that? Can we come to the point to where we're so yielded to Almighty God that instead of hanging on to our own beliefs that we might have learned from relatives and from friends and ministers, but those beliefs simply don't add up in the light of what the Bible says, are we humble enough to where we will discard those beliefs and replace them with what the Bible actually says? This is the inspired word of God. This is the truth. This is right. What we might believe and what we might have been taught could be wrong. And it definitely is wrong if it contradicts what the Bible says. And let's just notice what the Bible says about this matter of where our future is. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6. It says here in Revelation 20 and verse 6, blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and what? And shall reign with him 1,000 years. 1,000 years. And where is he going to be? Well, he's going to be on the earth. That's where he's coming back to. He's coming back to the earth. Notice verse 4 of Revelation 20. Last part, they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years on this earth. And Revelation 5 and verse 10 says, and they shall reign on the earth. So let's be clear about what Matthew 5 and verse 6 is talking about. It says, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. They're going to be here on this earth, in the kingdom of God, in the family of God, as spirit beings, inheriting all things. And part of what they will inherit will be the earth. What a tremendous blessing. You know, David understood this as well. Let's just quickly turn over to Psalms chapter 37 and see what David said. He understood the truth of God. Notice here in Psalms chapter 37 and verse 11. Psalms chapter 37 and verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. They shall inherit the earth. The meek. David understood that. It's not just talking about inheriting a piece of land now or things that we're blessed with now. It's talking about the future, when they're going to inherit eternal life. They're going to inherit all things. And part of that is they're going to inherit the earth along with the rest of God's family because they were teachable. They were obedient. They were humble. They yielded their will to God's will. And they're going to be blessed as a result of that. Another scripture that comes to mind is over here in Romans chapter 8. Let's get this meaning clear. Romans chapter 8. And let's notice in verse 17. Romans 8:17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Heirs with Jesus Christ. Heirs to inherit all things. Once again, are we going to believe what the Bible says? Are we going to eagerly search the scriptures and learn from them and absolutely embrace them and look up to them and tremble before them and obey them? That's the question, and that's what God's looking for. He wants disciples, and he wants Christians, and he wants people who will listen to what he says, who will believe what he says, and who will do what he says. Not discard it, overlook it, adjust it, modify it, twist it. No. Now notice here in Revelation 21 and verse 7. Revelation 21 and verse 7. He that overcomes, that means grow in grace and knowledge. Get rid of wrong habits and replace them with right habits. That means obey God. Worship God. Put him first. Learn from his word. Obey what we read there. That's overcoming. What happens when we overcome? Revelation 21, verse 7. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son, my daughter, my child. Inherit all things, including the earth, because we have overcome. So let's understand it now and believe what it says, not overlook it and shift it a little and twist it and modify it. No, it says this, that's what I believe. Back to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. So as we go through our lives, day in and day out, week in and week out, let's ask God to help us to be meek, not weak, not withdrawn and walking around with heads bowed and bent over. That's not meekness. That's not what it's talking about. Meekness does not mean weakness. The Bible also talks about being bold and being happy and having a snap to our eye and a bounce to our step and a smile on our face. We radiate joy and enthusiasm, and we can do that and still be meek. A meek person doesn't try to dominate others, doesn't take over a room and control other people. No, they know their place. And they're kind and gentle and teachable and humble. And they have that attitude of love and joy and happiness, but of respecting others, regarding others, learning from others, caring for others. God wants us to be like that. And if we are like that, we're going to be growing and changing and overcoming. And he said, you're going to be blessed, Matthew 5, verse 5, and you're going to inherit the earth. Now notice verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do we in our daily lives really hunger and thirst for righteousness? Do we really want to know the truth and want to do the right thing and want to be taught the right way to live from God through his word? Or do we want our own way? Do we listen to others? Do we compromise on what God says? Do we go along to get along? Do we say, oh, well, everybody's doing it, so I think I'll just do it? Do we say, well, what will people think if I don't do that? Or what will people think if I do that? Instead of what does God think about what I do? Let's examine ourselves and be honest and ask ourselves these things. That's what the Beatitudes are all about. They're about the teachings of Jesus Christ about Christian living, overcoming and growing and developing godly character. And therefore, then one day inheriting the kingdom of God and all the blessings along the way that come from obeying God and the truly big blessings that come if we endure to the end. And that is eternal life in the kingdom of God. So let's just take a look at this and evaluate it and analyze it and ask ourselves, are we really hungering and thirsting after righteousness? It's not always easy. Sometimes it's hard. We have to do what we don't want to do, but we're going to do it anyway because it's the right thing to do. We have to refrain from doing what we want to because it's the wrong thing to do, so we're not going to do it. We don't go along with the crowd just because there's a big crowd going that way. We go along with what is right and do that with God's help. That might leave us in a lonely position sometime. We live clean lives. We live godly lives. We dress appropriately. We have the right kind of humor, the right kind of taste for entertainment and for sports. We work hard. We set an example for others. We don't get involved in ugliness and filthiness and sin. We push that aside with God's help and replace it with wholesomeness and purity. And it may cause other people to laugh at us. We may be ridiculed and scorned and called all kind of names. Who cares about any of that? Let's care about what God says. He will bless us if we care about what He says and we do what He says. And one of the things He says is this, verse 6, Matthew 5. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now let's notice a companion verse very quickly about righteousness. Let's turn over here to Psalms 119. Psalms 119 and verse 172. David said this, Psalms 119, verse 172. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. And so there we are. Go right back to the Ten Commandments. These Beatitudes don't replace or do away with the Ten Commandments. They amplify the Ten Commandments. And it says, all your commandments are righteousness. And so then Jesus Christ said right here in Matthew 5, verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. After my commandments, after obeying me and doing what I say and being blessed for doing so. Well, we'll stop there with verse 6 and pick it up with verse 7 next time and continue on through these wonderful, tremendous teachings of Jesus Christ called the Beatitudes that have to do with the way we live our life and the attitude we have and what we do and what we don't do, and we're blessed for doing the right thing and avoid the punishment for doing the wrong thing. So we'll pick it up next time with Matthew 5, verse 7. In the meantime, I would like to ask you to consider our free material that you can write for or call for. What is the reward of the saved, and where is the kingdom of God? I urge you to ask for our free magazine, Straightforward. You'll begin receiving it free of charge. We don't charge for anything. There's no follow-up. There's no obligation. It's all free. All we have to do is call our toll-free number at 1-800-581-1317. That's 1-800-581-1317 and ask for Straightforward Magazine and our free material, and we'll send it to you. Or you can go to our website at straightforward.org. That's straightforward.org. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.
For more information, you may write to Enduring Church of God, P.O. Box 1317, Chandler, Texas, 75758, or visit our website at straightforward.org.